5 minutes this morning. There's so much going on, I can't even make all the announcements. So remember all the services this week. Pray hard. Come back here for choir practice this evening, adult choir practice at 6 o'clock. Adult choir practice. Some of you were not in choir this morning, and so need to get you here and here for practice this evening. Now, I've been preaching young people for the last 3 weeks, and I've heard some things in the last 2 weeks. It's broke my heart. It's broke my heart, and it's on my heart this morning. And I've got some good news for you young people this morning. The other day I had asked them to raise their hand. I said, how many of you kids do not live with your real mother and real daddy, both? Real mother and real daddy. You would not believe the amount of kids that raise their hand. And it's not their fault. It's not their fault. And some of them don't live with mother or daddy. And some of them maybe not even know who the real daddy or maybe even mother is or where they are. Now, we're living in a messed up day. Bad, bad messed up. And I got some good news for you young people this morning. And I'm going to deal with this just for a few minutes. Psalm 27, verse 9. Let's go ahead and read verse 8. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God, of my salvation. Listen to this verse. When my mother and my father forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. And I want you to know, young people, this morning, no matter how bad it seems in your life, and no matter how hot your heart is broken, the Lord is always there for you. He is your best friend. He's the one that's pulling for you right now. There's somebody sitting in this room today. There's a battle going on for you in your soul, and you are struggling over which way your life's going to go. And I'm telling you, the devil's voting against you, and God's voting for you. And you got the deciding vote of which way your life is going to go. Now, I believe this morning we're living in a messed up time. We were, every one of us, shocked the other day when I heard the news about the plane crash, the TWA Flight 800 plane crash, which was, I'm not even sure what day it was. Wednesday or Thursday, Wednesday night, something like that. And of course, you're into camp, you know, you're cut off from the outside world, and I didn't even know about it till the next morning. And all of us was in shock. Everybody, I went up and got up to church, and we requested special prayer for those families. And I began to tell those teenagers how that there was 15 or 16 teenagers from a class, high school class, on that airplane, excited about a trip to Paris, looking forward to what they were going to see and do there. And in a half split second, the plane blew up and they were in eternity. Give me up just a tad on this, Brother Roy, while I'm talking just for a minute. And I began to think about that. And I went out to Sister Becky's house and I said, maybe I can use some of this in the service. I said, can you turn on the news or something? How do you get this thing to work? And they got the TV on and they found it on the news. And I hate to say this, and I hate to be so critical, but you know what? It really bothered me that as I was trying to find out what had happened in the plane crash, I did get a few seconds of it. And don't take this wrong, what I'm getting ready to say, but honest to goodness, people, honest, it seemed this way, that they could not quit talking about the Olympics long enough to hardly cover that story. That bothered me. That bothered me. And I'm not. Start to say I wasn't against the Olympics, but I don't know if I am or not. It's about become a queer right festival in a lot of places. They won't even go through your town. The Olympic torch won't even go through your town if you take a stand against homosexuality. That's why they did in Greenville, South Carolina. So, yeah, I'm not care. I wouldn't care if I was identified with that outfit or not. It bothered me, really. The newspaper came on, and the question was kept asking, not what about the families, what about this? The question kept being asked, is this going to hinder the Olympics? We hate these people got blew up, but is this going to bother our fun for this weekend? That's the impression I got. And I'm not saying they were all like that. I'm not saying all the news are like that. Please don't take that wrong. I'm not trying to be mean or hateful. I picked up USA Today yesterday. Top page, Shaquille O'Neal goes to Los Angeles for $121 million to play basketball. Yes, you heard me right. To play basketball. Them boys like basketball good enough, they'd play for nothing. And I'm not against them getting a salary for it. I'm just saying, what we've done, we've gone completely hog wild crazy over fun and sports and all that. We've lost our minds in this country and forgot about our kids, our boys and our girls. You know who the most popular students here in America are? The ones that can play sports, not the ones that are smart and excel in academics. You go into other countries, and their academics are on a higher level than their athletics. Here in America, athletics are way up here. Academics are down here. You know why? That's where the money is. I don't know if Shaquille O'Neal could count to 121. I hate to say that. But I'm just saying, that's an illustration. I'm just saying, man, smile, man. You ought to be able to take a joke. And more power to him, man. More power to him. I'm not against him making money. But listen, people. Listen here, top story right here. Every dream, every drama, ceremony of the Centennial Games tonight, and then finally down here it talks about the crash, plane crash. We're living in a time when, to be downright blunt about it, our priorities are screwed up. We're more concerned about our kid being popular at school than we are them loving God and having a good testimony at church. We're more concerned about our girl being a cheerleader than we are a youth choir singer. That's what our problem is. We're more concerned about our boy being able to hit a baseball than we are whether he's called to preach or giving out a tract and doing something for God. And I'm talking about this is mama's and daddy's faults. Amen? Parents' faults. Let me tell you what I run into in the last 2 weeks. Just off the cuff here for a minute. We had a boy at camp week before last who said his mother had been married so many times, she went from man to man, he lost track of them. He said one man his mother married, she dated him, she married him, the man never spoke a word to him. The entire time him and the boy's mother were seeing each other, the man never spoke a word to the boy at the wedding, the man never spoke a word to the boy in the home, and his mother fell in love with him, married him, and divorced him, and he got gone, and the man never spoke one word to that boy. You know what that is? That's a mother that don't care nothing about nothing but herself. That's what that is. And you know, I tell you, people bring people in on their kids, well, you've got to accept it. If you don't like it, get out. And bringing their lover, their boyfriend, or their girlfriend in, and they didn't even consider how the kids feel about it. What about the kids, people? We had one girl at camp this week. Listen to me. We had a teenage girl at camp this week who got a boyfriend, took him home with her a time or two, and her mother run off with her boyfriend. And her mother's now shacking up with her boyfriend, the teenage girl. She was at camp crying about it all this week. And standing with meeting with our girls, giving her testimony. And she's from South Carolina, but she mixed in with our girls this week, and they took her under their wing. And she gave a testimony about it. And she called up her mom and said, Mama, don't you want to get right with God? And Mama went to church. Good Christian. And said, don't you want to get right with God? And Mama said, I ain't going to church as long as I'm living with him, and I am not leaving him. Now the Bible said in the last days, people will be without natural affection. And the Bible said in the last days that people would be lovers of themselves. Listen, if some of you people get a divorce from yourself, you could be a good parent to your kids. Amen. One girl who was raped just a few weeks ago. We had a camp this week. One girl... really got right with the Lord, she told me. Called home, told her mom. Her mom said, no big deal. I'm talking about parents, man. I'm talking about parents. One girl, when we showed them the film on abortion, was so upset she was almost into hysterics because she had had one some time back, and it showed her what actually took place in an abortion, and it nearly drove her crazy that night. And that's why I told them girls out there in a teenage crisis a while ago, and I'm telling you here this morning, you girls, listen to me this morning, you're being lied to about this abortion issue. They are lying to you. They get on TV and they get these nice, sophisticated, educated ladies, and they're sitting behind microphones on the CNN control room, and they're saying, we feel that it is a civil rights issue, and it is a woman's issue, that a woman should have the right to choose what she should do. Now, what they're doing is covering up. I'll tell you what they ought to do. They ought to take that video I got in there and put it on TV if they really want rights to be pushed. There's trash cans full of little arms and legs in Asheville and Charlotte every day now. Every day. Girls are going into abortion clinics to have pregnancy tests, and they just think, and they're doing abortions on girls that ain't even pregnant. Man, anybody's crazy to go into an abortion clinic and say, would you do a test on me, see if I'm pregnant? Something that'd tell me I was pregnant if I went in there. Try to get my money. Them people's crooks. It's the most ungodly. It's worse than anything you can imagine. And so what's wrong with some of you people? You watch too much TV and you will not face the facts. You know what this, what do they call this partial birth? They're arguing about on TV. Is it partial birth abortion now? The president's signed it. The president's in favor of it. You know what they do now? They let the baby be born. See, they're cutting them all to pieces and they can't get all their arms and legs off. They might leave a piece inside the mother and poison her. So now what they're doing is they're letting the baby be born. Arms, legs, kicking, everything, except part of its head. That's all that's still in the mother. And then they take a large instrument and drive it into the back of the head right there and suck the baby's brains out. That's what partial birth abortion is. Larry King won't tell you that, and the Ronald Reagan won't tell you that, and they will not put it on the news, but we in America have become murderers, murderers of little innocent babies that have no hope and no chance to live. Listen, that's murder, man. That's murder. When a little baby's all got all of his head out and he's kicking and crying and everything, and you suck its brains out. And they say, well, it's my right to do what I want to do. Okay, let the baby be born healthy, and then let them put that thing in your head and suck your brains out. You got a right to do what you want to with your body. Suck your own brains out. Don't not your babies. You don't have no right to do that just because you're bigger and smarter. You say, why are we trying to come this morning? All I can say is, you must have needed it or the Lord wouldn't have sent you here. One girl, 13 years old, she said, I never had a spanking in my life until I went to this girl's home. And I said, that's probably why you're in the girl's home. She said, my dad didn't believe in it. She said, he does now. I told him out there the other day, Dr. Spock should be spanked. You'll never improve on disciplined children of what that Bible says disciplined children. You know what kids do? You know what they're trying to tell you to do now? They're saying that a parent should never, if a kid goes out and messes up, they get on drugs, they wreck the car, that you should not fuss at them and say you did something wrong. That you should just say, well, I don't always agree with the choices you make, and I just want you to know I'm here for you. Parents. Oh. Son, if one of my girls went out and got drunk and came home, and I'm not saying it couldn't happen. I mean, it could happen. Could happen to you. I promise you what one thing though wouldn't happen. I would not say, I'm here for you. That's the biggest bunch of bull I've ever heard in my entire life. All that's doing is letting the kid get away with murder. And if you let a kid get away with murder, when they get bigger, they think the police can't tell them what to do. And no, they've got to learn how to respect authority. And there's got to be, all your life, there's going to be somebody telling you what to do. Like it or not. That girl, that's what she told me. We had a girl at camp the other day whose parents split up the day they left for camp to come here. And she had to decide who she was going to live with when she got back. Boy, that'd ruin your week, wouldn't it? I remember one time when I was little. I couldn't have been over 5 years old. Mom and Dad had a fuss. And I remember my mom standing at the ironing board. And I was just little like this, and I looked up at her. And I remember my mom saying, "I'm leaving." And when she said that, it was just like a knife stuck in my stomach. And somebody twisted it. And I said, "No, Mom. No." And I mean, she just said it. I don't know what would have happened to me if that would really happen. These kids that are coming from these homes, you listen, they are permanently scarred. Permanently. "I don't want to go out and have my own fling and do what I want. I want my freedom. I don't want to be married no more." And what about your kids? "Oh, they'll get over it." No, they won't. They never will get over it. And you're going to answer for it one day. You're going to answer for it as a parent. As I said last night, there's over 50 of them here at prayer meeting. You know what I'm seeing? And I thank God for the older folks. We got some fine old folks in our church that love God and everything. I praise God for them. But you know what bothers me? Everywhere I go, there's young people getting on fire wanting to do something for God, but there ain't no mamas and daddies willing to go ahead and do it. Mom and daddy sat at home on Wednesday night. Mom and daddy will take off. And we had one girl who was wanting to come to church today, but mom and daddy wanted to go to the beach. And the teenager wanted to come to church. They'll go around and say, "Well, we got to do something with our kid." I found out that 99% of that stuff is just parents wanting to be backslid on God and whether the teenagers want to do right. That's a disgrace on mamas and daddies. It's a disgrace. It's a disgrace. I know a situation here where two guys out on visitation found a little baby, and one guy said, "Won't you let me have this baby?" And the mom said, "Okay," and gave it to her. Raised her. And I know a story in the Old Testament where two prostitutes came in front of King Solomon and was fussing over a live baby, and both of them said it was theirs and claimed it. That means prostitutes in the Old Testament had higher moral standards than some so-called civilized 20th century Christian Americans did. It's a mess. Kids, I come home the other night and I met some mamas. I meet teenagers' mamas from these other churches in other states, and I'm not referring to anybody in particular when I say this, but here's a young girl comes in. She comes home from camp, got her Bible praying. "Mama, I want to go to Christian school." "All right, I ain't going to do it. It costs too much." "Mama, I want to throw away all my shorts and start wearing something down to my knees and keeping my nakedness covered." "Oh, that's silly. What do they do, brainwash at that church?" I'll tell you something, people. A mama ought to have enough standards and morals and conviction to set an example for her daughter. It's bad. It's bad when teenage girls come to me and say, "Pray for my mama. She don't want me to dress right." Lord have mercy. It ain't no wonder churches are dead. It ain't no wonder some of you never get a blessing. It ain't no wonder people never get saved in most churches. We better get back to where God wants us to be. And I'm talking to mamas and daddies. Maybe we need to have a camp and take all y'all out there and keep you for a week. Keep you in church till 10 o'clock every night. You'd be squirming in your seat. You don't like it if it goes past 8:30. I know some backslid 30 and 40 and 50 year olds here this morning. We need to get right with God. What chance these kids have? I had them come up and tell me, "I'm going to go home and get rid of all my CDs and tapes and stuff like that, but pray for me. Mom and Daddy listens to them all the time." Now, ain't that something? Ain't that something? Kid can't get away from AC/DC because daddy's favorite group. That's bad, man. I feel sorry for a kid has to live with a guy like that. Can you imagine a little girl coming up and saying, "I'm trying to straighten up my act and do right, but I can't get away from Barf Brooks because mama loves him so much." You say, "I ain't never coming to hear you preach again." I know, that's why I'm loading your wagon while you're here. I'll just give you a whole load and you can take it and then you can go out and gossip about me. I want to tell you something. I'm going to stand before God one of these days, and you are too. And you know as well as you're sitting there, that our problem in a lot of our homes is mamas and daddies that won't even get right with God. It's bad. It's bad when teenagers want to come to visitation and mom and daddy won't even come. It's bad, buddy. It's bad. Don't everybody shout all at the same time. You know what's scaring me? What's scaring me is this bunch of maniacs we got. Brother Mosley had to wrestle one down in the woods out there Friday evening. Where you at, Brother Mose? You should see his clothes. We had a Mexican boy from Texas. Come on, Kathy. We had a Mexican boy from Texas. And the boy ran away, hit the counselor, and started cussing. Brother Mosley chased him through the woods, wrestled him down, nailed him. And he's going to run away, but he didn't know what's going to happen to him. You know what scares me? In a few years, these are going to be the parents. What's his next generation going to be like if the Lord don't come? Chris, don't you come up here just a second. I want to ask you a question this morning. Where do you stand? Where do you stand with God as a parent? How can you people, come on up here, Chris. How can you people sit at home on Sunday night and say, I want a football game, and your kid's begging to come to church? My daddy wasn't an educated man, but he had plenty of sense. My daddy, he could outthink you real quick if you wasn't careful. And the night when I got saved, my daddy was lost, and daddy went down there and took $100 bill and gave it to that preacher, preaching that revival. And you know, my daddy didn't just give money to no preacher or nobody for that matter. And so somebody said, Lawrence, what'd you do that for? And he said, I'd rather give it to that preacher than give it to the judge. Amen. And he knew he'd be up there in court with me before it's over with, trying to bail me out. And I'm telling you, if you got a kid that wants to go to church, you better get in there and back it. The day may come when you'll be trying to get them out of jail or get them, and you'll be in a mess, and you'll would to God they would go. Brother Danny, go visit them. Go talk to them. See if you can get them back in. You better get them while they're little. And you better train them right. I want him to sing this song. You listen.
Values of this world are twisted and evil, and in our minds we cannot find right or wrong anymore. We spin to recycle, keep our highways clear. We're concerned about things like the Earth's atmosphere. And some even cry because the well may not always be here. But we're killing our children.
My.
It's time to cry for the children.
It's time to cry for our children.
For their
you better
blood.
Better forget the atmosphere and start crying for your kids.
River in the name of women's rights.
Don't worry about Bill Share, man. Worry about that little boy, that
God
little girl sitting beside you this morning.
He knows when every birthday should have been. America, please get back on your knees.
Yes.
For the sake of our children.
Yes. Get back on your knees this morning, mamas and daddies.
Eyes that never saw mother.
Think about that this morning.
Now gaze on the Savior. Cries never made are now cries of praise.
Amen.
To the land they adore. Little hands that in death were torn.
Let's just stand this morning,
apart.
Everyone stand. God speak of your heart, you need to come. Just come on. Kneel down right here at this altar. You need to get your heart right with God. Come right now. Come right now. Amen. Amen. For the sake of our children. For the sake of our children.
But we're killing our children.
For the sake of our children this morning, let's pray. That's why we have a Christian school. That's why we take them to youth camp. That's why we have youth meetings. That's why we preach to them. That's why we pray for them. They ain't got a dog's chain. They ain't got a dog's chain. Us mamas and daddies, get in there and serve God. Do right. Amen.
He knows when every birthday should have been. America, please get back on your knees for the sake of our children.
Amen.
America, please get back on your knees for the sake of our children.
These are still praying this morning. Something's coming. Amen. Amen. Sing it, girls. Sing it, girls. Sing it, girls. Sing it right now. Amen. Come on now. Oh, girls, help us sing now. Amen. Thank you. How about it this morning? Yes, hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Thank God. Somebody's praying for me. Everybody sing it now. Angels are watching. Sing. Get on her knees. Amen. Amen. Yes. All right, everybody sing now. Come on. Amen. Amen. Glory to God.
It's time for me.
Everybody sing now.
Somebody's pray.
Somebody better pray. Somebody better. That's the only hope they've got. That's the only hope they've got. So parents to learn how to pray.
To protect me from what I can see. Lord, I
Amen. Somebody better pray. Amen. Yes. Yes. Hallelujah. All right. Amen. I'll tell you what we better do this morning. You better get these kids while their hearts are tender. You ought to see them up here this morning. Some of them, maybe one shedding tears. God speaking to other hearts. Better get them while they're tender. You know what happens? If you ain't careful when you get in your 30s and 40s,
you start getting bitter and hurt, and you had so many problems and church problems and family problems that you'll get cold on God. And you better pray till you get your heart warmed up again. When the disciples got filled with the Holy Ghost in the book of Acts, the evidence, y'all have heard people say, man, we had a great revival, had a great service, and then the church ain't no different. Nobody goes out and does anything. When a man gets full of the Holy Ghost, he's going to want to tell somebody. These kids went out last night and told people. And we have two people here this morning because of what they did last night. And this young man here got right with the Lord. Right here on the front. He was on a motorcycle out at Hardee's. What'd you tell me, Glenn? At Hardee's last night on a motorcycle. And they got talking to him. And he's praying for him. And I said, God, he's in here getting his car washed. I pray you'd wash his soul. I ain't never seen nobody get saved in car wash. He did. He was sincere. 19 years old. Amen. Somebody, one of my friends said, I bet y'all are a new man, ain't you? I said, thank you for the compliment. Thank you. And you could tell a difference in our kids and the other one just like that, just by looking. I started going around saying, y'all breaking the rules. You're breaking the rules. But I thought, I ain't at camp no more. I've been out there. One of them saw them girls, and he said, all them girls go to y'all's church. I said, yeah. See, you nut out here chasing these floosies. You get in there and get you a good girl if you get right with God. I didn't say that to them. It's been good this morning. Thank God for what he's done. Don't forget, choir, adult choir at 6. Ever preacher here by 6:30. Builders at 6:30 too, okay? God bless you. Have a good evening.